Almost 5,000 bison roam the park this summer. A harsh winter could drive thousands into areas of southwestern Montana. Hunters are anticipated to kill more than 300 of the animals over this winter. Others would be captured or slaughtered by federal officials or used for research. Yellowstone has the only wild bison herd remaining in the world. Since the 1980s, more than 6,300 have been slaughtered and almost 1,900 have been killed by hunters. The Buffalo Field Campaign has vowed to remain in nonviolent witness to the slaughter of buffalo in Yellowstone all winter.
A group of children have effectively blocked a massive development project in Cancun, Mexico. 113 children filed a lawsuit 2 months ago challenging the construction of the $900 million project. The development would have paved over an ancient mangrove forest in order to build a shopping center and hotel. One 4-year-old plaintiff told the court, quote, "If we cut everything down, then we're going to die. Trees help us breathe." A judge ruled in favor of the children, but ordered them to pay over $1 million to the developers to offset their alleged losses from not building the development. Mangroves provide food and shelter for marine life, reptiles, and birds. The trees have been devastated over the decades by the tourism industry and the popular vacation spot. Not only are mangroves important for ecosystems, scientists say that mangrove forests can help slow climate change as they suck an uncommon amount of industrial carbon out of the atmosphere and bury it deep within their underground network of roots. Cancun is Mexico's number one tourism destination, drawing nearly 5 million visitors last year. Lawyers for the children say this is the first lawsuit filed in Mexico advocating for the collective rights of kids over corporate interests in order to protect the environment.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jimmy Tardy and Robin Ryan. Our producer is Galen Sanford. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. And the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you would like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard about on the news tonight, here are their numbers, so grab something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM, on K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty discusses the digital stakeout program at the Oregon Department of Justice and how it tracked Oregonians using the Black Lives Matter hashtag. At 9, it's Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagering interviews John Pfeffer about his recent article, Splinterlands, The View from 2050. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's Between the Covers. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, why not take advantage of our current matching grant for new members and members who are adding to their memberships? Just go to kboo.fm/give to find out more. And stay tuned next for News from the Boo.
And now it's time for KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
That's right. It is time once again for News from the Boo, our weekly roundup of items of interest here from KBOO concerning the station itself and the greater listening community. We are very lucky to have with us tonight Michael Wells, member of the KBOO Board of Directors. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Welcome, Michael. And for our listeners out there, the phone lines are open tonight. So if you want to call in with a question or comment for Michael, you can reach us at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187.
So, Michael, unfortunately, we run a little bit short tonight. Mm-hmm. I've got a ton of stuff that I wanted to ask you about. So, you know, we might have to have you come back a second time. But I'd like to start back with your beginnings in local independent media. 1968, I believe, you founded the Willamette Bridge. Mm-hmm. And then 1970, the Scribe. Or thereabouts.
72, maybe, yeah.
And shortly thereafter, then, you went on to work as one of the first staffers on Willamette Week.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your bona fides in local independent media are pretty strong. Why did you make the transition from print to radio in the 70s?
Well, when the Willamette Bridge started in the summer of 68, KBOO was also coming together. David Calhoun had come down from Crab in Seattle with the sort of job of putting the station on the air, and actually I saw him about a month ago, and we have different stories about how we met, but he ended up sleeping on our back porch. Well, and so in the initial paste up of the Willamette Bridge back in the days when there weren't computers and everything was typed on typewriters and pasted down with wax, you know, he would be pasting things down and then I'd be carrying tape recorders around. So it was all sort of fungible. And probably, certainly with the Willamette Bridge, it wasn't thinking of it so much as journalism as thinking of it as community organizing, because Portland was an overgrown lumber town. I mean, if you've lived in Portland for the last 20 years, you live in an entirely different universe than was back then. So there were people scattered all over town, you know, hippies, Reed students, artists, so forth, who weren't connected with each other. So we were looking at how do they connect people together. And, you know, print was one way and radio was another. Although with a 10-watt station, you had to sort of be downtown with your antenna at just the right place to get the radio. But, yeah, so it wasn't an either or. You know, I was always sort of involved with KBOO.
Did you start up the Scribe to try to move into a more journalistic direction, or did you have other reasons for going from the Willamette Bridge to the Scribe?
Well, you're probably too young to remember how crazy 1968 to 1970 was, but it got to be in 1970 where it was sort of choosing between the newspaper and my marriage, because it was taking over our lives. So my then wife and I took off and moved to rural New Hampshire and then back to Cambridge, which is where we met. So when we left, the Bridge was sort of a going concern. Life, whatever changed here. By the time we moved back here with, at that point, one-year-old twins in late 1971, the Scribe had folded, and a magazine called the Oregon Times, which had been founded by Phil Stanford, he was leaving it, and he was looking for someone to take it over. So we proposed to take it over, but then the Druckmans proposed to take it over, and they had money, and we didn't. So he made the rational choice. But we were sort of going down the track of doing it, and so we thought, well, we'll do another newspaper, because what else are we going to do? Things just sort of happened.
Are some of the same issues that you were dealing with then the same issues that Portland deals with now? It sounds like we have put that on hold for just a moment. We've got a call coming in. Caller, are you there?
Hello,
caller. Yeah, we can hear you now. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Yeah, get the dump button ready. No, I'm just kidding.
Nope.
This is Red Willow, and my question is to, I'm not familiar or I haven't met the board member, but I have been a part of the KBOO community for a long time. So what my question is first of all, I want to acknowledge that I think the station has gone in a good way as far as diversity goes across the board, you know, in the leadership in particular, okay? But my question is to you as a board member is, what focus on diversity is there in the station in programming? And as a Native American, is there? I'm interested in knowing, is there going to be any more time given to Native Americans on the KBOO airways, maybe even back to Wisdom of the Elders? Or I'm just wanting to know, are we going to have any focus on them? And I'm advocating for more time for Native Americans.
Well, it's probably a three-part answer. KBOO has a long-standing commitment to diversity, which is somewhat balanced by the fact that what happens at KBOO is who walks through the door and has the patience to stick around for a while. So we've gone through times, I don't know if you've been around long enough to remember John Talley in Indian World.
He was my mentor.
Okay.
Yeah, my mentor.
Yeah, well, you know, he came to KBOO because George Page, who was probably KBOO or one of Portland's great DJs of all time, recruited him.
Right, his wife did.
That's sort of one answer. KBOO has a great commitment. I know that, you know, people on the staff agonize over the fact that we don't have more people of color, and it's all volunteer, and it's sort of who walks through the door. In terms of programming, if you've been around KBOO, you know that it's probably overly bureaucratic, and there's a programming committee that you have to go through, and there's time and so forth. I think that a program aimed at either at the Native American community or at providing information about the Native American community to the rest would be welcomed by the programming committee, but you have to go through that
process.
Yeah.
So that's very clear, and I appreciate your response. I don't want to take it up any more airtime.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much,
Colin.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So switching gears a little bit, we have a little less than 3 minutes. Can you talk a little bit about how things have changed between now and when you were station manager yourself?
I was station manager at this sort of golden time for KBOO, which I can't really take any credit for, but we had just had a couple of power increases, so suddenly we've gotten to 1,000 watts and then 12,000 watts or something, and KBOO was the jazz station.
What year was this?
77 to 81, I think, roughly. KBOO was the jazz station. KMHD didn't exist. KBOO was the classical station. KBPS, now all classical, didn't exist. Oregon Public Broadcasting was still being run sort of as farm radio out of Corvallis. KBOO had the largest non-commercial listening audience in the state, the 25th largest listening audience in the country of non-commercial stations. So part of what KBOO did, one theory is, we sort of broke the ground. So the people out at Mount Hood said, oh, we could do a jazz radio station. And Pat Swinson at KBPS at Benson High School, you know, finally got her dream of getting an FM station on the air. So these different sort of segments got, you know, somebody else started doing them, maybe not as well as we had, but then nevertheless. And so KBOO has sort of moved to, one of KBOO's commitments is serving the underserved. So if somebody else is serving a market, then, you know, KBOO moves off. So that's a big change. Interestingly enough, I became station manager as a result of a lot of turmoil at the station, which is somewhat similar to how I just came on the board. I was a more or less active volunteer from the late 60s until the mid 80s, and then I went away for 20 years. And people who are, you know, KBOO aficionados know of the dark times of, you know, 2 years ago. And I came back involved in KBOO because it seemed to be endangered. So that kind of happened.
Well, we are, unfortunately, to the second, almost out of time. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. We've got a ton of things that we'd still like to ask you about, so hopefully we can get you back here for a future edition of News from the Boo. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Occupy Radio. First, a few things we think you ought to know.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month is the amazing Nina Simone, showing Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. Nina Simone was one of America's true musical geniuses. With her unique signature mix of layering folk, gospel, classical, pop, and African music, along with a revolutionary vision of Black freedom, pride, and defiance.